A hearing is scheduled for Wednesday of this week in U.S. District Court on a motion to suspend Wisconsin's voter ID law. In the first half of our state capitol report, we will talk with the head of the group that is behind this motion, and we will welcome your thoughts and reactions and questions. Do you think that the state's voter ID law should be blocked or suspended because of the reports over problems that have been happening issuing voter IDs? There have been problems at the Department of Motor Vehicles in getting the correct information to people who are seeking IDs. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Scott Ross. He is the executive director of One Wisconsin Institute, which is the educational arm of One Wisconsin Now. It filed a motion last week calling for the suspension of the state's voter ID law. Good morning, Scott.
Well, good morning, Joy.
Were you up late watching a Packer game or the debate?
I will say this. I watched the debate, but I did not stay up late.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to get your reaction to the debate right off the top, even though we didn't say we were going to ask you for your reaction to the debate. Our last guest said, and many commentators are saying, that he thought it was pretty much a draw because Donald Trump performed better than expected and Hillary Clinton did not deliver that so-called knockout blow.
Yeah, I thought that was, I think you are in some ways accurate. I thought, obviously, Donald Trump does things that no other candidate in American history does, and for that, I certainly would like to see him lose big because I think he is a repellent human being. But there are a lot of things that, I thought the beginning was going to be much more animated, and then a long thing into foreign policy, and then a lot of, if they were going to talk about a bunch of issues, there were a whole bunch of issues I thought that weren't brought up.
Yeah. Well, because we have a big issue to talk about, I'll leave it there for now. Why did you file this motion last week to suspend the state's voter ID law?
Well, Joy, I mean, what we found was even after the judge had made his decision in the voter ID lawsuit and saying that voter ID could continue for this election, given changes that the state of Wisconsin promised it was making, that it was very clear that they were not following through with their obligations under Judge Peterson's order, and that legal voters were going to be denied access to the ballot box. And so we filed a motion, and the judge responded incredibly quickly and said that we would be in court on Wednesday.
Yeah, audio recordings from a group known as Vote Riders showed that the Department of Motor Vehicles staff providing what you are calling false information to those seeking voter ID cards. Give us an example of what we were hearing.
Well, we saw we saw legal voters who were being told, for instance, that they weren't able to get some sort of a ticket saying they were allowed to be able to vote and things like that. That there were people who were being told, oh well, you're going to actually need these papers in order if you want this to go through. Or one gentleman was told, oh, you're going to have to go and get your birth certificate in Illinois. Things like that, specific things like that that we had said that we had showed during the trial were the kinds of impediments that were put up through the voter ID law. And I think, I don't want to read anything into what the judge will, may do or may not do, but I was in the courtroom for the entire length of the trial, and I do, in reading the decision that he put forward from July, I mean, he was very clear that he felt that the Republicans were intentionally disenfranchising, targeting African Americans for disenfranchisement through these steps that would prevent people from getting their free ID, because overwhelmingly the people who were asking for free IDs were African Americans, because, again, African Americans and Latinos are more likely not to have photo ID, which is part of the case we made saying, well, this is why Republicans want photo ID, because they don't want African Americans and Latinos to vote, because they feel African Americans and Latinos don't vote for them.
Well, State of Wisconsin attorneys acknowledged on Friday that Department of Motor Vehicles employees gave inaccurate information, but it has since corrected the problem, and media reports have exaggerated the scope. What do you say to that?
I would say that that's pretty desperate. When your legal case is attacking the media, that you have some real problems. And I would never want to get into any legal strategy or anything like this, but this is just me, you know. So this was me, my reaction when I looked at the filing. The state put forth a filing that said there were no problems. We checked and there are no problems. Governor Walker had talked to the media 6 hours earlier and said that there were problems. Their filing, and you know, I saw things like, for instance, Governor Walker's DMV sent Governor Walker's state troopers into some DMVs run by Governor Walker, and there were no problems. Like, just on face, that seems like a pretty tall, you know, you're just supposed to believe us because we sent people in, absent no evidence, nothing like that. It was a very thin case, but a thin filing. But I also, you know, having been in the courtroom, and certainly public radio had a reporter there the entire time as well. It was their case was so thin. Yeah. You know, the whole premise on which they act is they say that there is massive voter fraud in the state of Wisconsin, and now for the second time in a federal trial, ours being the second one, they couldn't prove instances of in-person voter fraud that would warrant some kind of change in our election laws to promote integrity. And I think that just, you know, that's just part of why we think their case is so bogus and why we fought so hard on this.
Right. So, but how do you know, Scott Ross, that this wasn't just, you know, a handful of DMV employees who just screwed up, just didn't know proper procedure instead of some sort of a coordinated effort?
Well, I guess I'd say, first of all, I think there were 10 different DMVs where there were recordings that had problems. The fact is, Joy, is that Governor Walker is the one who changed the laws with the state legislature. So it's Governor Walker's responsibility to be able to follow those laws. And it is very clear he is either unwilling or unable to administer a constitutionally viable voter ID law in the state of Wisconsin.
So both the One Wisconsin Institute and the state are going to be allowed to present evidence on Wednesday to support their arguments. I know you're not necessarily going to reveal detailed legal strategy, but aside from those recordings, do you have other proof that Wisconsin isn't holding up its end of the law?
Yeah, unfortunately, Joy, I'm normally loquacious, but on this, I think that we'll just have to let our lawyers make the case on Wednesday.
Yeah, and do you have any sense you mentioned that the judge very very quickly scheduled this hearing. Are you're hoping for a suspension of the law so it's not in effect during the election?
Yeah, that's one of the things we've asked for. So, once somebody is disenfranchised in an election, you can't unring that bell. So the people who have been given inaccurate and wrong information so far, or the people who say, well, I don't have an ID, so I'm just not going to go vote. You can't say, you don't know how many people that is, for instance. But, you know, the right to vote is so important, so sacred. It's in the Wisconsin Constitution explicitly. And I think that's why you have to fight so hard, as we are, and as groups, you know, not just us, are fighting to make sure that people have access to the ballot box, that people are able to cast their votes. And, you know, I don't know that, given all of the evidence, right, given all what we've heard for the last 5 years since voter ID was passed, given, you know, the only reaction that the governor seems to have on photo ID on voter rights is that photo ID makes it easier to vote and harder to cheat. That's what he says. I don't know that we can trust Governor Walker to fairly apply the law. I mean, hands down, the judge in his ruling said specifically that that actions taken by the Walker administration and the laws that were changed were designed specifically to, quote-unquote, disenfranchise African Americans in Milwaukee. And, you know, whether it's the early vote, you know, the early voting restrictions that we had thrown out, and so people across the state are getting the opportunity at different times to be able to early vote, the fact that we got rid of the prohibitions on weekend early voting, the fact that the prohibition on having just one early voting location per municipality is thrown out is a great thing, and the changes they made to the residency requirements that we got thrown out. I mean, I think all those things in total,
yeah.
The fact, you know, there were so many laws that they tried to pass to attack the right to vote.
I'm going
to
jump in, Scott, because we're going to check news and then we'll take calls for you after the news. During this half of our State Capitol Report, we are talking with Scott Ross, the executive director of One Wisconsin Institute, which is the educational arm of One Wisconsin Now. It filed a motion last week calling for the suspension of the state's voter ID law. Scott Ross says that the Department of Motor Vehicles, the state, is failing to assist those who lack the documentation needed for an ID to get credentials to be able to cast a ballot. We wonder what you think, what questions you have, whether you want to see the state's voter ID law blocked, or do you hope it stays in place for the November election? Are you or did somebody you know have trouble getting a photo ID? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. There will be a hearing on Wednesday in U.S. District Court on a motion to suspend Wisconsin's voter ID law. Let's go to Brian in Eau Claire first. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I think the voter ID law should just be thrown out entirely. I think it's nothing more than voter suppression. I think the people of Wisconsin can go on Google or YouTube and type in Senator Glenn Grothman, and they'll see him admit to a reporter when asked, how are the Republicans going to win Wisconsin in November? He just said, well, we now have voter ID, photo ID, and that will help us. It's basically admitting that it's suppression and that the law is put in place to help them win elections.
That came up in your original lawsuit, Scott Ross?
Yes, yes, it did. And I applaud Brian's commitment to voter rights here in the state of Wisconsin. That was in our trial. Also, the fact that, you know, we had the former staffer, I think you've interviewed before, Republican Senator Dale mm-hmm. Schultz, who described Republicans in the room while they were passing this and their discussions about being able to deny people around Milwaukee and people on college campuses access to the ballot box, that they were quote unquote giddy, and he said that under oath. And so I think that their intent is very, very clear. Because again, in the face of not being able, you know, if they can't prove any fraud, then it makes sense that the only real fraud that's going on are them trying to manipulate the laws for partisan gain.
Marks on Facebook says, my significant other should have been able to register despite her out-of-state ID because she had proof of residency here. Even after showing all the poll runners that wasn't true, they refused and kept arguing. And then goes on to say, I think that the voter ID law should be permanently blocked as well. I'm not sure I'm clear on what exactly happened there. Apparently, his girlfriend wanted to register at the polls and got the runaround. That's a part of this, too, though.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think that it's also important to note that, you know, part of the evidence we're providing shows that about a third of the people whose petitions were denied haven't received the ID they were entitled to, and that, you know, and that there's been lack of outreach to the state of people to tell them that they need to get the photo ID and how to get it and that sort of thing. Because again, I think you remember, like, after the case, when they were starting to give IDs, there was a lot of information that came up about, well, wait a second, how are you going to guarantee that this ID, you know, this, you know, pseudo ID you're sending people is going to get to them in time? And so they had to go in and actually change the rules on that to make sure that people, you know, in the week leading up to the election are going to allegedly have, you know, their IDs overnighted to them. You know, that, you know, we will say to people, you know, basically they'll say to people, okay, yes, you'll get a free ID, but we can't give it to you today. It just seems like another bureaucratic layer put in place by the Walker administration to somehow try and, you know, just get some people who would otherwise be able to vote and who are poor not be able to get the IDs they need. And I just, I do want to make the point on the outreach campaign, because that was part of what, you know, the judge had said. You know, you said you're doing this outreach campaign, so go do it. And one of the pieces of evidence that came out, and this is in our filing, is that as part of their outreach effort, Governor Walker's DMV and DOT, they put advertisements in movie theaters. And, you know, I'm a movie fan, Joy, so I'm not really a fan of 17 minutes of ads at the beginning of before I get to see my movie. But part of their outreach was that they were going to do that in movie theaters. And they did it. They did it in 52 movie theaters. 52 movie theaters around Wisconsin had advertisements in them. Guess what? Not one single one of those theaters is in the city of Milwaukee, where 70% of the African Americans live in the state of Wisconsin, and again, where the bulk of people who don't have photo IDs live. And so I think their intent was very clear on that.
Ron in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, a couple of points. I'd like to point out that there was or used to be provisional ballots if a person who couldn't get the documentation to attest to their residency in Wisconsin, they could cast a provisional ballot, and then if that would ahead of the election, that would get until they, and then if they secured the necessary documentation of their residence here, then the provisional ballot would be counted. The other thing point I like to make is J.P. Van Hollen, who was a state attorney general, went on a fishing expedition. I don't know how many hundreds of or thousands of dollars he squandered, state tax dollars he squandered. But he wanted to find out if there was any vote fraud in the 2008 presidential election. And I think after a long, very wasteful fishing expedition, I think they found two ballots that were probably miscast.
Yeah, and the existence or non-existence of in-person voter fraud also came up in that original lawsuit, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Carl makes a great point, and J.B. Van Hollen back in 2008 set up what he called the Voter Fraud Task Force. So just right there, you know what his intention was. And I do recall there were faulty absentee ballot requests that were mailed out by the John McCain campaign in 2008 that were giving people false information that as a result of the way they were set up, you would never get your absentee ballot. And we asked J.B., you know, as part of his fraud task force, because giving people incorrect information is a form of fraud, we asked him to investigate, and he refused to investigate it, while at the time he was also the co-chair of the state John McCain for campaign.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that they, you know, they've shown, you know, unfortunately we have had two successive attorneys general in J.B. Van Hollen and now Brad Schimmel, who have a real hostility to voter rights and who essentially act as the legal arm of Governor Walker's voter suppression machine.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Ron was trying to, what point he was trying to make about the provisional ballots, but
yeah.
Does that take care of any issues people might have in getting photo IDs?
Well, the problem is that, you know, provisional ballots, when you could use them, were one, you know, it required a second step. It required you to get back to the election within a very short period of time with the information to do it. And the fact is that I think only, you know, the studies have shown that only about 3 in 10 people who cast provisional ballots ever come back to get, you know, with the information to be able to have their ballot be cast in the election. So essentially, you know, provisional ballots don't provide any real wide protection in terms of making sure that your ballot's cast. Because, again, you have to go back within a certain period of time and such to be able to make sure that happens.
You know, I don't know if we have time for another caller, though we have a lot of callers who want to weigh in. We're less than a month away before Election Day. Early voting has been going on in parts of the state since the end of September. If the judge agrees with you and the law gets suspended like you would like, are you concerned that this might cause some unnecessary confusion at the polls?
Well, I think that, you know, taking away a restriction on voting, I think, is a lot easier to administer than if they were trying to put in new restrictions and new obstacles and impediments to be able to vote. So I don't have an ideological problem with this happening so late, if it happens.
Well, while you want voter ID to be suspended, how do you think the judge is going to come down on this case?
I have no idea, and I wouldn't want to speculate, honestly.
Yeah, but he originally did remove restrictions on early voting and talked about how it seemed the motivation was very partisan, but he did leave voter ID intact from your original lawsuit, isn't that right?
Yes, he did, but the reason that he did was because he was unable at that point in time to be able to throw it out because, you know, just simply throwing out the voter ID law is unconstitutional, you know, for the rest of time. He was unable to do that because an earlier higher court in the other federal photo ID case that we weren't a part of had made a decision. So he wasn't, because of legal procedure on it, he was unable to just throw out the entire law. Yeah. Is unconstitutional.
All right. Thank you, Scott, for joining us.
Thank you so very much.
Scott Ross, executive director of One Wisconsin Institute. It filed a motion last week calling for the suspension of the state's voter ID law, based in part on problems that surfaced in media reports that DMV workers, Department of Motor Vehicle workers, were giving incorrect information and not properly helping those seeking photo IDs.